The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We're halfway there, folks. It is hump day, the early morning hours of August the 17th. Just let that sink in for a moment. It was 10 seconds ago. It was the August the 1st. And I know that because that was my first day back in the saddle after War College. And it's already been 2.5 weeks. What has happened to time? Weather today, not as bad as yesterday. My goodness, there was a lot of rain the last couple days. 83 degrees, it'll climb up to 90 on Thursday, and then we'll get back to 83 on Friday, and then storms for football Saturday for us and baseball Sunday. In the afternoon, we'll have some storms. George Brockler with you here on The George Show. Well, she did it, folks. Unbelievably, almost unexpectedly, she did it. She, being Liz Cheney, managed to lose by a lot. It was more than 2-1. I don't think she garnered 30% of the total overall vote in that primary with Hageman. We'll have sound from that. We'll talk a little bit about that when we get done. In the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to have Steve the Beard. That's not actually his official name, but he's a councilman from the city of Aurora. Once again, Aurora in the news. You can't find a city that is doing more proactive, incredible stuff on behalf of their citizenry. And we'll talk about that in the 9 o'clock hour. Brace yourselves, folks. Get the recorders ready. Well, it'll also be on podcast. Larry Elder. That's right. Larry Elder will be on our airwaves at 9:03 to talk about his latest documentary, Uncle Tom 2, which is available to you. We'll get the website information to you and all that. That's fantastic news. And then, of course, in between, we'll have conversations ranging from here, there, and everywhere. A lot of stuff going on with politics, some stuff local, some stuff national. And then we'll talk about some other current events, things going on. Until then, though, we've got to get through the funnest part of the show for us, and that is the part that takes all of Billy's effort, outside of keeping this from coming off the rails between 6 and 10. This is the most labor-intensive portion of the morning, and that is the legitimate news called the Thorpe Report and the You Choose the News portion with our friend William Thorpe, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Living the dream.
Oh, excellent. Happy Wednesday. And you're
happy
right.
Wednesday.
2 weeks.
Unbelievable.
Weeks. It's ridiculous.
It feels like it was last weekend.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. Also, you'll see on the screen in front of you, I've added 3 more Cheney quotes that I just found as we were coming on the air.
Bam!
So got a bunch of stuff.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so we'll add those to the list. But right now, let's talk local news. Somewhat of a break from monsoon moisture comes our way today and tomorrow. We're going to get more sunshine, warmer temperatures, and less chance for those heavy rains. Highs will approach 90 degrees tomorrow, then back to low to mid-80s with showers and storms returning throughout the weekend and into the beginning of next week. The Denver Police Department has released the body cam video of the police shooting that left six bystanders injured in lower downtown on July 17th. In critical incident briefing accompanying the body cam footage, Commander of the Denver Police Department Major Crimes Division Matt Clark said DPD officers were patrolling the area near 28th and Larimer around 1:30 in the morning. They observed a fight between multiple people outside Larimer Beer Hall. Involved in that altercation was 21-year-old Jordan Waddy, who was captured on video shoving and punching a bystander outside the video. Clark claimed the incident briefing released Tuesday that an officer who witnessed the assault observed Mr. Waddy may have had a firearm concealed in his hoodie or in his waistband, and the information was then communicated to the other officers in the area. In that video, Waddy can be seen with his hands up before turning his back to the street and putting his left hand in his hoodie with his right hand still in the air. Clark confirms that's when officers told Waddy to stop and show both of his hands. It appeared to the officers that Mr. Waddy was working to retrieve an item from the front pocket of his hoodie with his left hand as he continued moving towards 20th Street, and that was the direction towards the crowd in front of the beer hall. He then claims what has been repeated in the past. Waddy then pulled a handgun out of his hoodie pocket, flashed the muzzle at 2 Denver police officers after they confronted him.
Well, let me guess. They flashed a muzzle. He flashed a muzzle to the police, and the police said, stop. Yeah. Be peaceful.
They said, tickle.
Don't shoot us.
Yeah. No, not at all. They opened fire. They do show, and the body cam video does back this up. It shows Waddy pulling the handgun from the left-hand side of his hoodie and then throwing it to the ground as he raises both hands into the air, and then police begin firing as well. So Denver District Attorney Beth McCann also announced that she is going to open a grand jury investigation into the police shooting of an armed suspect that injured six bystanders. So, yeah, so that's going to be interesting. It's going to be a long one. We'll see what happens. Also earlier in the week, the city of Denver started distributing taxpayer money to candidates running for office in our 2023 elections. The money comes from the Fair Election Fund. Voters approved it with 70% support in 2018. It allows $8 million from Denver's general fund to match individual donors up to a point. Candidates who sign up for the program agree to contribution limits and to only accept money from individual donors and small
taxpayer-funded campaigns. Yeah. That just sounds like a formula for freedom.
I don't know. I think it is an interesting conversation. I'm not necessarily for it, but I can see why the current system, we got some issues. But I'm not sure this is the fix.
Listen, I'm completely supportive of a city that 70% of the occupants want to do this with their taxpayer money. Yeah. So I totally support that. But I think it is garbage that the government is in the business of funding campaigns. That doesn't sound like America to me, but what do I know?
Yeah. The U.S. Department of Interior yesterday announced its plans to deal with the severe water shortage along the Colorado River Basin. The basin serves water needs of seven states, dozens of Native American tribes, and even parts of Mexico. Roughly 40 million people depend on the basin for the water needs, and a century-old pact between the states split them up into two parts. The upper basin consists of Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico. Lower basin is California, Arizona, and Nevada. Each half was allocated 7.5 million acre feet of water use. Oh, hey, it's not really that time of year again, but Spirit Halloween is already opening stores here in Colorado. There are 11
Labor
Spirit.
Day.
Yeah, nope. 11 of them. I thought that was sound. I'm like, oh, they're
on
doing construction.
Time.
Exactly.
Folks, what you hopefully can't hear that, timed perfectly with the show opening. There are folks in other parts of the building who seem to be, I don't know, one of those pit crews.
Yeah, construction
at a NASCAR
workers. Yeah,
race.
It's like riveting. Yeah, it's just the floor vibrates.
Unbelievable.
Okay, so 11 Colorado Spirit locations have opened for the season. Denver, Westminster, and Colorado Springs lead the state in Spirit Halloween stores, three each. The largest Halloween retailer in the country, Spirit Halloween, has more than 1,400 locations across the U.S.
Of
and Canada.
Of course, we'll be there. I just want to say that this is proof. Again, this is the sausage getting made, folks. Our big wig Kelly here was like, I already put in a call to end this yesterday.
Okay.
It is clear
that
Kelly has no juice outside of this floor.
No, not at all. They don't care. Well, he just said yesterday. like we didn't have a show today, too. Now, what do you need to open a Spirit Halloween store? They're looking for 5,000 to 50,000 square feet, a population of 35,000 or more that lives within 3 to 5 miles, and at least 25,000 vehicles driving by daily. And might be time for a reality TV show about Casa Bonita. There's more drama. We talked earlier in the week how, we got some of the plans that were released, some of the renovation plans. Well, earlier this week, Casa Bonita's owners filed a lawsuit against the city of Lakewood and several public agencies to keep their sensitive documents related to the renovation from being released to the public. So, yeah, this is Matt Stone and Trey Parker. They basically say, listen, can we just go ahead and do this in private and not have to show everybody? Recently, during an interview, Stone and Parker told the Denver Post, the Casa Bonita renovation has been like an episode of Kitchen Nightmares. Parker said, in a very real way, this was the very, very, very worst situation going into there that we could imagine. So that's how good it was. They said, and to think that we still went there and ate. So,
I love
they
it.
They said it was that bad.
But you know what? It's not so bad that it cost you your life or your health. Well, in
that's
a meaningful
true.
Way.
Yeah. Now, you of course knew the secret of going to Casa Bonita as an adult. You only order the taco salad. Nothing else is edible there. That's it.
I guess
it's the
I didn't.
Only thing.
I wish I'd have had that advice earlier.
If you ordered anything other than the taco salad, you were in trouble. There was as we referred to earlier, there was
Casa
going to
Bonita's
be seepage.
Revenge or something.
Yeah, lots of seepage.
Yes.
That is what was going to happen.
The only word I can think of that has no positive spin to it.
Seepage. Speaking of no positive spin,
it
is that time again where we play You Choose the News. It is everybody's favorite radio news game show. I have spent hours and hours going through the interwebs, well, at least as far as you know, and then giving these stories some stupid headlines, and we play this fake radio news game. We've got some fun ones for you today, sir. Here are your choices. Oh, and we are proudly sponsored by Acme. Acme is going to help you make some part-time money, extra cash around the house. This is a great idea, especially just in time for back to school.
Mm.
So we've got a back to school special for you here in just a second. But first, the game. All right. Headline number one, snagging more money from deadbeat parents, or we could just shoot them. Headline number two, kicked out of a crowd. Headline number three, tobacco smoking peanut shells. And headline number four, have they tried calling Doctor Who? Alrighty, sir, your choices again today are snagging more money from deadbeat parents, or we could just shoot them, kicked out of a crowd, tobacco smoke and peanut shells, or have they tried calling Doctor Who?
My Doctor Who years were with Doctor Who number four, Tom, can't remember his name.
That Tom Baker.
Tom Baker.
Of course
was
I would know
my
that.
Doctor Who.
And his favorite treat was, what do you always have in his pockets?
It was marijuana.
No, jelly babies.
No, wait a minute. It was jelly babies.
Yeah.
You're right. And the little dog, I can't remember the robot dog.
Canine.
It had to have been canine, but that
yeah.
wonderful show. It was obviously we got it later
yeah.
than it was actually aired in England. As far as I know, Tom Baker's been dead for 100 years.
Nope, he's still alive.
Okay, well, yeah. that's helpful. And then the kids got into it, but they were on yeah. like Doctor Who number 43
yeah.
or something like that.
Who were they? Who'd they watch? What was the actors? Because
David Tennant.
Oh, that's one of the best.
Who's the dude that came after him?
Matt Smith.
That's it. Matt Smith. They yep. love Matt Smith. In fact, our cat, Matt the Cat,
oh, really?
Is named after Matt Smith.
I respect your cat a whole lot more right now.
That is it,
a
man.
Lot.
The kids
that is,
love
man.
Doctor Who. Now, they're out of that phase, but for a time, that was a little connection. People don't know this that don't watch Doctor Who. Longest yeah. running show in the history of the planet Earth or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right up there.
It is. And it's been difficult. Last couple of seasons
it's
have been
changed.
Tough. Yeah, last couple of seasons were difficult. Writing was not the best, and then they created a storyline in order to let the Doctor regenerate more times than originally was there in the lore, and yeah. that storyline sucked. It was
yeah.
awful. It did horrible things. However, the Master has been a real revelation. The antithesis. There's, again, if you watch the series long enough, there is an evil Time Lord that is the opposite of Doctor Who, and he's called the Master. And it was a revelation.
Listen, we had sonic screwdrivers yeah. around the
mm-hmm.
house.
Yeah.
We had, and I'm sure folks right now are like, please get to the story.
I know,
we'll get
there,
the story. I promise.
Yeah, we will.
Even on my son's wheelchair, we had the little license plate that says Dalek.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
I have several sonic screwdrivers at home.
Yeah, that's anyway.
yes, okay.
A departure to Nerdsville.
yes, here we go. Now back to the real stories. Have they tried calling Doctor Who? Well, if they followed national recommendation guidelines for preventative care, chronic disease care, and acute care, according to a new set of research, it would take primary care physicians more than 24 hours to see the average number of patients recommended. It would take them 26.7 hours in a day. So Justin Porter, author of the lead paper and the assistant professor of medicine at the University of Chicago, says, this is a bit of a disconnect between the care we've been trained to provide and the constraints of our current clinic workday. The study builds on others that have found a discrepancy between guidelines and actual physicians' time in real world. See, if you do surveys with patients about what frustrates them the most about their medical care, you're here, my doctor doesn't follow up, they don't spend time with me. A lot of this is interpreted as lack of empathy or willingness to care for the patient, but in reality, for doctors, it's just a lack of time. According to researchers, time constraints are a key factor in physician burnout. It's one of the main drivers pushing medical students from the field before becoming doctors in the first place. New research was conducted by the University of Chicago, Johns Hopkins University, and the Imperial College of London. For average number of patients, the simulation study broke down the recommended requirements: 14 hours of the day of preventive care, 7 hours a day for chronic disease care, 2 hours a day for acute care, 3 hours a day for documentation, inbox management, and not a single there's a bathroom break. But so, yeah, you just don't have that many hours in a day. They're talking about what you need is team-based care, where nurses, physicians, assistants, and counselors all come in and combine so that you don't have to take so much time from the individual doctor.
Presumably run by the government.
Of course, yes.
Because, you know, government yes. does it all so well.
Alrighty, sir. Second choice. Snagging more money from deadbeat parents, or we could shoot them, kicked out of a crowd, or tobacco smoke and peanut shells.
Peanut shells, please.
Ah, tobacco smoke and peanut shells. Many of us have, good memories of dive bars, and some of us just can't remember them because we were too drunk. These spots may have been, kind of in your past, but you can relive them now. You can relive those smelly times because Miller High Life is paying tribute to them with their very own dive bar flavored ice cream.
What?
Yes.
No.
In honor of the institution
that is
dive bars and the 100th anniversary of the ice cream bar, Miller High Life has partnered with Tipsy Scoop. They create liquor-infused ice cream treats, and they're creating the ice cream dive bar. It's infused with Miller High Life, also has a peanut swirl to reflect the peanut shells always found on the floor, a bit of tobacco smoke flavor, because how could we get away from that, as well as some caramel swirl and a sprinkle of carbonated candy along with a dark chocolate dip. You can have these Dave's Ice Cream Bars delivered right to your front door. A six-pack of ice cream dive bars is available for purchase starting yesterday at tipsyscoop.com.
Does it offer an aftertaste of regret?
Yes, exactly.
I mean, like, the next morning, do you wake up and go, what did I have in my mouth?
Why is my tongue feel furry?
What is this? And who is this?
Who is this person? Where are my pants? All right. Your final choice.
My dress?
Your final choice today, sir. Snagging more money from deadbeat parents, or we could shoot them, or kicked out of a crowd.
Parents, please.
Ah, parents. This is really innovative. That's kind of unique. We go to Utah for this one. Utah is seeing a surge in child support payments over the last year, a change that state officials credit in part to a brand new state law. This law withholds hunting and fishing licenses to people who fall significantly behind on child support payments. If you are more than $2,500 in the rear of your child support for the year, no hunting, no fishing licenses. State Representative Carrie Ann Lisbony said she came up with the idea after talking to some of their constituents who had non-custodial parents. They were overdue in child support, but they were posting on social media about spending lots and lots of money when they're going out hunting and fishing. They enacted the new law 2 years ago, and she said they didn't want, you know, there was a lot of talk during the time about sending people to jail or something when they had non-collection of child support, and she said, how does that help? The person's in jail. They're not making any money. Then they get out. You can actually impede their ability to make money in the future. That's not helping the kid. So what do we do in order to have a certain pain point and creative incentive to make sure that the people who owe child support would be able to support those children, but it also would not impact their ability to just live and go around? And so they thought that hunting and fishing are fairly popular in almost every state, and so they are doing that. In fact, some states like Pennsylvania are talking about the idea of allowing the state to suspend a driver's license or professional license for a number of months if you are a certain dollar amount behind in your child support payments. So far, as of July 1st of last year, they had blocked the hunting and fishing licenses of almost 3,000 people.
Wow.
And data provided by Stockdale suggests child support payments have gone up significantly since they put the law in place.
It's interesting.
Kind of cool.
It's just interesting. I love the idea,
yeah.
But I'm also concerned that there are 3,000 presumably dudes out there who owe money, not just because somebody said so, because a court said so.
Yeah.
For the care of their kids, and they have pocketed that cash at the kids', I guess, detriment, and then they go out and hunt.
I mean,
originally when I heard this story, I thought, yay. And then as I started thinking about it, screw you, dude. You shouldn't be out there hunting.
No,
in
you
fact,
should
you shouldn't have a smile on your face until you pay for your child support.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. But at least they found a way. I appreciate the fact they didn't send them to prison or jail. That would be my first reaction, but I understand why that wouldn't help because they can't make any money.
No, but the part that you left out is the final way to pay the bills is they do the most dangerous game. I don't know if you ever read that book, but they take the guy, they set him loose in the wild, and then they auction off tickets to hunt him.
And I can get behind that. we can put that
and
on paper.
You don't
want
to be that guy,
no.
So you pay the bills.
Yeah, I think there was a movie about that, but Running Man. But yeah.
But by the way, here in Colorado, we've taken the opposite approach with things. Like if you owe money because you've racked up a whole bunch of tickets
get
or fines,
free ticket dealages.
Normally we say you can't renew your driver's license. Instead, we've said there's really no basis upon which to ever keep you from having a driver's license. You can ignore all court orders whatsoever. It's okay.
Yes, it's okay. Just go ahead and drive if you want. The license is just a suggestion. It's, you know, don't have to take the test.
And folks, if you can look out to the east right now, beautiful sunrise coming up over here. It's blinding me. I know you're never supposed to look directly into the sun. I just did it throughout You Choose the News.
That explains
spots,
a lot.
But it's beautiful to watch that big orangey, purplish, pinkish bulb kind of pop up. It was worth it right there.
And now while George is playing with those shadows that are bouncing in front of his
have
eyes.
To help me with the buttons.
Swatting things. Yes, we are done with You Choose the News. George is our winner, and yes, I am your loser. But today we are sponsored proudly by Acme. Acme has got a very special back-to-school offer for you. Hey, think of this. Those kids, when they go to school, what's going on in their room? They've got idea of where Airbnb meets 10 to 2. Yep. You love short-term rentals. With this new short-term rental plan, you can make money while your kids are at school. Rent out their bedrooms to the homeless, vagrants, other people in the neighborhood. Have you seen the money the government throws at any sort of BS project? Hicks Road Home, wink, wink. Yeah, get some of that fat government money by renting out your kids' rooms while they're at school. I mean, Yeah, the homeless may smell a little bit, but have you smelled your kids' rooms lately? I mean, Acme will help you register your child's bedroom as a homeless shelter or housing, or Section 8 housing, and you will net the difference. Yes, you can make money while the kids are still at school. I'm always thinking of you. Yeah, back to you, sir.
What kind of places rent out a room an hour at a time? They seem like they're very upstanding and hygienic.
Yes, they are. Honestly. They are very hygienic, yes.
Thank you, Billy. That is fantastic work there. Appreciate the effort that goes into all these things, because it doesn't just write itself, as people can hear. It doesn't just write itself. Listen, we're going to cut away for a break. When we come back, we'll start off with a little story. It turns out about rent and whether or not it should be paid, who collects it, who benefits from it, and a particular congresswoman whose name rhymes with Talita Rashib. George Brockler on the George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. It is nothing but a G thing. Listen, I just want to tell you, there is a new Netflix show that's out there called like Day Shift, and it's got Snoop Dogg in it. And this was crazy to me. Jamie Foxx, huge draw for me. I like Jamie Foxx. He is the main star in this thing. I bring up to my kids the other night when it debuts, I think on Friday, I said, hey, can we sit down and all watch Day Shift? First, we had to check, is it rated R? Why is it rated R? I think it is. But it was for things like, I don't know, bloody violence with killing vampires or something like that. They were like, yeah, I don't know. And then my son looks at it, he goes, oh, Snoop Dogg's in it? Oh, yeah, let's watch. I'm like, oh, my, what? And Snoop Dogg is in it, and he doesn't have an inconsequential role. So you tell me if you've watched that, whether or not you think it's a great movie or not. But it was fun to watch with the kids, and it was just interesting to have them be all excited about seeing Snoop Dogg. So great bumper music. Listen, we broke away after reference to paying rent, and it's just interesting to me. There's a story on Fox News today. You'll recall that during the pandemic, all the lefties rushed out to say nobody should ever have to pay for anything ever again because of this virus that the government completely mismanaged. And then we ended up shutting down the planet Earth, and then now the economy is where it is. There's one person in particular who, if you look up the word hypocrisy in Webster's, if you still own a Webster's dictionary, it has her picture in it, and that is Rashida Tlaib. You know Rashida Tlaib as the very moderate, mild-mannered, even-keeled, soft-spoken member of the squad. I'm being completely sarcastic. I think she actually used the F word related to the president during when she won her general election. We are going to impeach the something-something president. Anyway, you'll remember that during the pandemic, she was one of a handful of the squadites who wanted to pass a federal law that would forbid property owners from collecting rent during the pandemic. Because, you know, it's not fair for people to have to pay for things once you've shut down their means of earning money. That's their theory, I suppose. Well, it turns out, despite that effort right there, she collected rent on her own rental properties in Detroit throughout the entire period of time. Her latest tax filings indicate that she pocketed, wait for this, this isn't from her salary that we pay her to be in Congress, which is somewhere around $175,000 to $180,000 a year. Nope, she pocketed up to $100,000 in rental income during the pandemic while she was pushing to end other people's ability to collect rent. Now, the hypocrisy there isn't. And by the way, I'm a big guy for I don't want these tax loopholes, but as long as they exist, I'm going to drive a truck through them. Amen to that all day long. But remember, these are the people that take the holy high ground, the moral high ground, that they're doing what is best because their hearts are bigger and their brains are sharper. And she could have on her own said, you know what, I'm going to put my wallet where my mouth is and I'm not going to collect rent because I think it's morally reprehensible to do so when the government has shut down the economy. But nope, not Rashida. Rashida, true to everything you might imagine about the people on the left, principle is secondary to power and, as it turns out, to profit. That's Rashida Tlaib, Democrat from Michigan. Now, yesterday was a big day, really, for just one primary. It was the last primary involving one of the 10 House members who voted to impeach the president. Now, this was Liz Cheney, the highest profile member of the 10. As you'll recall, I believe four of those members decided not to run for re-election. They retired. Three of them were voted out of office. They didn't win their primary, in essence. And then two of them survived any primary challenge that they had. This was the last of the 10. And it was the biggest one. It was the most high profile. Heck, we talked about it yesterday. And as you can imagine, it was a nail biter. It was very, very close. Liz Cheney was facing Hageman, who had been endorsed by President Trump. Interestingly, Harriet Hageman was a never Trumper. Did you know that? That even back in 2016, she was a huge Ted Cruz fan. And she referred to President Trump at the time as the weakest candidate. And she did not want him to be the party's nominee because she thought he would be the easiest to defeat. She also said, by the way, if he were nominated, he was a bigoted candidate who would repel voters that Republicans needed to win a national election. Sound familiar? Warning that the GOP would be saddled with, this is a quote, somebody who is racist and xenophobic. Those are Harriet Hageman. Well, fast forward, folks, about 5 years. And as it turns out, this maybe it's the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of a thing. But my best guess is if Harriet Hageman was a Democrat until the moment she announced she was running against Liz, Trump would have come out and endorsed her because he threw his full weight behind her. And by golly, she rewarded him by coming full circle around. Not only is she a huge Trump supporter within the last 5 years, but she also went from sort of equivocal on the stolen election stuff to within the last month coming out and saying unequivocally that the election was stolen and that President Trump had been robbed. She was rewarded with a huge, huge victory yesterday in incredibly Republican Wyoming. Now, keep in mind, the president won Wyoming with 70% of the vote. Now, yes, Wyoming has less people in it than my high school. I get it. But they're almost all Republicans. I think they actually tag Democrats up there to make sure that they can track them in the wild and know how and their mating habits and make sure that they don't exceed a certain number. But Wyoming, the least populous state in America, has an incredible concentration of Republicans. Those folks, as it turns out, model what we're seeing in most of the polling across the country, and they turn out to be huge supporters of President Trump. And so when it came to the primary yesterday, my guess is nobody, Liz Cheney included, believed she was going to win, but the drubbing was real. I think she pulled, at least at the last numbers I saw, correct me if I'm wrong, less than 30% of the vote. Harriet Hageman, well over 66%. I think she got at least two-thirds of the vote, and Liz Cheney less than 3 in 10 votes. Now, the aftermath of that, which, like I said, was not unexpected. In fact, you know how sometimes you see, whether it's at the Academy Awards or an election, there you have two speeches prepared. One is the thank you to the Academy, I won, all that stuff. The other one is the, it was just an honor to be nominated. You know, that kind of thing. My guess is she had no victory speech prepared. And that turns out to be pretty smart because this is a compilation of some clips from last night that we'll go through here. And then I will read you President Trump's very classy response at the end. But this is Harriet Hageman.
I have a record of success in the courtroom, and I intend to have a record of success when I represent you.
Okay, that's good. I like that. I like the fact that she was a trial attorney, too. I mean, the ability to stand up and talk is a big one. I told Billy, and you'll listen to these clips with Liz, it's not that the words aren't well-crafted. And it's even if you disagree with the message, it's not that the message is put together in a way that it could be persuasive if you are open to it. It's that it's read. And that's like very 20th century, 19th century stuff. Reading speeches sucks. It takes a real gifted orator to take the written word and make it sound good. And I'm going to give you an example. Not someone who I ever supported, and I opposed pretty much every policy, and that's a guy named Barry Obama. Barry was a gifted orator when it came to reading off the teleprompter. And there, you cannot deny that. You can say whatever you want about this guy. You can emphasize his middle. I don't care. Gifted orator when it comes to the teleprompter. If you ever watched President Obama get interviewed off the teleprompter, dumpster fire, in my opinion. It was a lot of, just horrible to listen to. But on the teleprompter, great. Liz Cheney, not great reading. Again, separate yourself from, I don't like her, she's a never-Trumper. Separate yourself from that. As you listen to these things, the words are well-crafted. The delivery, it's just, I don't know. So take a listen. Here's a few cuts from last night.
Donald Trump has betrayed Republican voters. He's lied to them. Those who support him have lied to them. And they're using people's patriotism against them. They're preying on people's patriotism. He crossed a line that couldn't be crossed. And as a That's nation, you don't get the opportunity to debate and discuss any other issue if you simply turn your head away from that kind of a fundamental threat on our republic.
Those two clips were actually not her reading her speech yesterday. Those were from the Today Show. Forgive me. And that's different. You can hear a different sound in her voice when she's speaking extemporaneously. That's just how you hear it. But you will know instantly when you hear it, the sound of her voice as she's now reading these words.
I believe that Donald Trump
That's not it. Here it is right here.
Tonight, Harriet Hegeman has received the most votes in this primary. She won. I called her to concede the race. This primary election is over, but now the real work begins.
Now, do you hear in that not only the change in pitch and tone because it's reading, but also the substance of it? She is taking a shot at President Trump right there, but in a very subtle way. She will never use his name, but listen to what she says about the election.
Tonight, Harriet Hegeman has received the most votes in this primary. She won. I called her to concede the race. This primary election is over, but now the real work begins.
Now that is her saying, I get it, folks. I'm not going to come out here and tell you I was robbed or it was rigged or the election is over. She won the most votes. I called her to concede. Now, whether you think good riddance, I'm glad she's gone, horrible person, you cannot deny that is the classy way to end a loss, especially an epic 7 out of 10 people voted for someone, not you, kind of a loss. That's a classy way to do it. And this was the president's classy response. Liz Cheney is a bitter, horrible human being. I watched her yesterday and realized how bad she is for the Republican Party. She has no personality or anything good having to do with politics or our country. She is a talking point for Democrats, whether that means the border, the gas lines, inflation, or destroying our economy. She is a warmonger whose family stupidly pushed us into the never-ending Middle East disaster, draining our wealth and depleting our great military, the worst decision in our country's history. I look forward to soon watching her as a paid contributor on CNN or MSDNC. Yeah, it makes you laugh, and the dude is certainly entertaining, but come on, man. I mean, that is just, to begin with, Liz Cheney is a bitter, horrible human being. I don't know. I mean, guy was president of the United States. It's just, I know it's a Trump way to talk. It's a very New York Street way to talk, but oh, buddy, it's just so different than what you hear from almost anybody else. There's no grace in his words. There is no, which is interesting. There's absolute forgiveness in endorsing a woman who called him a xenophobe and a racist only years before, but he doesn't come out and say anything. But with Liz Cheney, it is burn her to the ground. Here's some more from Liz.
It would have required that I go along with President Trump's lie about the 2020 election, that I enable his ongoing efforts to unravel our democratic system and attack the foundations of our republic. That was a path I could not and would not take.
And that was her explanation for why she could not continue to solicit the support of certain folks in the party. If winning meant doing that, she wasn't signed up for it. And, you know, agree or disagree, she stuck to her guns, even if those guns were pointed in the wrong direction and fired in a weird way. She stuck to them. She did not back down. The only word that comes to mind is kamikaze, right? The pilots, they knew they were going down and they just tried to find the softest spot they could in the destroyer or the aircraft carrier and head right for it. And that's kind of what I think Liz Cheney did. The real question is, could she have survived had she merely voted to impeach and then recovered? Had she not spearheaded the January 6th hearings, could she have survived that? Because we know two did. And when we come back, we'll hear a little more sound from Liz. We'll also talk about what took place in Alaska, because the only senator, the only Republican senator up for election this year who voted to impeach Donald Trump was on the ballot in Alaska. We'll talk about that, how that turned out as well. She has survived thus far. We'll see what happens in the next round. We'll talk about it when we come back. George Brockler on the George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. Got a little more sound from yesterday's concession speech from Liz Cheney, who just got drubbed, beaten like a baby harp seal up there in Wyoming in that Republican primary, losing to Harriet Hegeman, a one-time never-Trumper who called him xenophobic and a racist, but now endorsed by him. And man, did that pay off up there in Wyoming. A couple other things from her speech last night.
It would have required
Tonight,
Harriet Hegeman has received the most votes in this. Every one of us must be committed to the eternal defense of this miraculous experiment called America.
And then she goes on to talk, hint at, I think what's next.
No House seat, no office in this land is more important than the principles that we are all sworn to protect.
Between that and the real work begins now, it leaves you wondering, what is next for her? Where is she going to go with this? I don't think Liz Cheney is done. I think what really looks like has happened is she has traded her seat for a higher national profile. I don't think she could successfully mount an insurgent campaign against Donald Trump as a Republican. I think that would be foolish and a waste of time and money. She cannot beat him. And I don't think she can cost him the primary. She just doesn't have that kind of support. But she could lead a super PAC of some kind and be the face for a super PAC that seeks to scuttle him and punch him and drag him down throughout whatever. This presumes, by the way, that Trump is going to run for election again. I think she could do that. I think she could also try to do a Ross Perot mounted this-ish kind of third-party campaign. Again, not a winner at all, not a winner. But in an effort to try to pull votes away from him enough that would cost him the election, that would bum me out significantly because I get opposing him in the Republican Party. I get not liking him as president for whatever principle. But to create a situation where whoever the Republican nominee is, Trump or someone else, is going to lose because we're going to let the folks on the other side, who just take a look at the stuff they're bragging about right now, folks. In the last year, this President Biden is one of the most successful legislative accomplishing presidential dudes in the world. The stuff they've passed is ridiculous. Hundreds of millions of dollars to bail out the chip industry, for green energy, the tax hikes that they're going to impose, dumping money back into an economy that's already overheating. This is, by the way, the same. This last Build Back Better light bill that they have, the inflation, it's not a reduction bill, but the IRA. This thing is like putting your left foot on the brake and putting your right foot on the gas pedal. That's these chuckleheads. To want to return someone from that ilk to the White House because you don't like President Trump? No, I don't think that makes a lot of sense either. And by the way, that might be a principled position. Pragmatically, that is horrible for the country you claim to love. So I would encourage her not to do that either. But she's not done, folks. She's not done. And you could hear kind of the hatred, too, the mutual hatred that they have for each other between President Trump's very measured, classy words as he began his statement last night. Liz Cheney is a bitter, horrible human being. That's not made up. That's not the Onion. That is the Don. And the statements by Liz Cheney and really her dad, who called Trump out to be a coward and all this other stuff. Lot of love lost there. I don't think they're going to hug it out anytime soon. Now, listen, before we cut away for a break, I do want to update you, though, on the other race with a person who voted to impeach the president, the only United States senator from the Republican side of the ticket who voted to impeach that's up, and that is Lisa Murkowski. Lisa Murkowski is a U.S. senator currently in Alaska. I want you to keep in mind that between she and her father, the Murkowskis have owned that U.S. Senate seat since 1980. That's 42 years. What? I'd be honest with you. She could be the greatest U.S. senator on the planet Earth. She could be U.S. Senator Ronald Reagan. That's too much time for any one person or one family to be in charge of a United States Senate seat. But again, I yield to the voters of Alaska. Now, Alaska's done something different, but I need you to pay attention to it because it's coming here. I don't mean it's going to pass this year. I don't mean it's going to happen next year. But you know that folks out there want to bring ranked choice voting here to Colorado. And we've been on the cutting edge in election reform. For good or for bad, we've been the tip of the spear in America on a whole bunch of things, including that mass mail-in voting stuff. This ranked choice voting thing is coming for us, folks. And I will tell you straight away that no matter how they package it, the purpose of it is to moderate candidates. That is the purpose of it. The idea here is to really gut parties, both the Democrats and the Republicans. But the idea is you make the ballot. And in Alaska, the top four finishers, if no person gets 50% of the vote in the initial primary, in that primary, then the top four vote getters, even if that fourth place one got 2% of the vote, the top four vote getters advance to the general election. And the purpose of that is to moderate the candidates. It's to deprive Republicans and Democrats of being able to vet their own candidates. Now, you get pissed off about people who avoid the assembly and petition on. This is that times a trillion. And so what happens is people get a ballot and they get to choose who's my first choice. And my first choice is, I don't know, Lisa Murkowski. And then a bunch of other people say my first choice is, what's her name there? It's a hard to pronounce name because it has a bunch of consonants together that shouldn't be there together that's running against Lisa. Some of you are screaming it at the radio right now. Kelly Shibaka? Kelly Shibaka, T-S-H Ibaka. And you like her better. And let's say that in a straight up head-to-head competition, she wins because she's got Trump support. She's a concern. Doesn't work that way. Now, Lisa has less first place votes than Kelly. Doesn't matter. The second place votes then get counted if nobody gets above 50%. And they keep going to second place, third place, fourth place until one of those people eclipses 50%, and then that person is the winner. That is an effort to moderate candidates. Because now you could have someone like a Donald Trump would never, ever, never, 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 ever, never win in ranked choice voting. He's too strong of a personality. And so what this would do would have a whole bunch of people say, oh, Donald Trump isn't my first choice. Someone else is my first choice. Maybe it's Ron DeSantis. I'm making that up. Ron DeSantis. But then other folks are out there who are like, my first choice is Joe Biden. But if I can't have Joe Biden, I don't dislike DeSantis as much as I dislike Trump. So I'm going to go with DeSantis as my second choice. That right there is a formula for a Ron DeSantis victory. But now picture instead of Ron DeSantis, it's some squish Republican out there, some super, maybe it's a Lisa Murkowski. That's the result of the ranked choice voting. And under that dynamic that took place, Lisa Murkowski is advancing to the general election along with Kelly Shibaka, if I'm saying that correctly. And they don't even know who the fourth place person is yet. They're still calculating that. But the third place person is going to be a Democrat. That is yet to be determined. And also Sarah Palin. We'll get a chance to talk about her as the show progresses. But we're going to change up topics here. We're going to come back with Steve Sundberg. He is the beard on the Aurora City Council. He's going to talk to us about some other awesome stuff that Aurora is doing to tackle problems that seem to linger everywhere. You stay tuned. It's George Brockner on The George Show, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.